I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the breaking NFL news. Kirk Cousins has been benched. Michael Penix Jr. is the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons now. Vikings fans, do you feel like you dodged the bullet with Kirk Cousins? Because I feel like we did. 651-461-9226. You know that funny saying, and you can say this about men and women. In relationships, you dodge the bullet. I feel like we dodged the bullet with Kirk Cousins. I really do. I think from what we've seen, that Kirk is, do we say he's cooked? Do we say he's washed? Kirk is never going to get back to the Kirk Cousins that we saw prior to the injury. And remember what, and this is, I'm going to defer to producer Chris Tubbs. Because what was the quote, Chris, from Kirk Cousins? It's not about the dollars, it's about.
It's not about the money. It's about what the money represents.
It's not about the dollars. It's about what the dollars represent.
Yes.
No, it's about the money, Kirk. It's about the money, Kirk. So Kirk Cousins has lost his in the first year of that contract. I will say this about Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix Jr., and the Falcons organization. The Falcons screwed this up horrendously. I think next year, Raheem Morris, unless Michael Penix Jr. balls out, I think he's going to get fired. And I would not blame Arthur Blank for firing him. How in the world? Or the GM that made this decision. Why in the world would you take Michael Penix Jr. after you gave Kirk Cousins all this damn money? This is not, in my opinion, this is not an Aaron Rodgers situation. Aaron Rodgers was there already. You knew what you had. Aaron Rodgers was a guy that was starting to get a little bit older, and you want to bring a young guy in. No, what you did was you signed this guy coming off a torn Achilles and drafting the guy in the same year. Same offseason. That was dumb from the jump. Dumb from the jump.
Yeah. I don't know how hands-on Arthur Blank is in terms of personnel moves.
He's not Jerry Jones.
Well, I know he's not Jerry Jones.
He's not a meddler like that.
It's hard to be that level of meddling when it's Jerry Jones. But I just wonder who was influencing the decision. And I say that for this reason, because if Terry Fontenot, who is the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, if he really thought that Kirk Cousins, this is where you're going to put all the eggs in your basket, why would they have picked Michael Penix in the top 10? Why would they have used that much draft capital when they had just signed Kirk Cousins? Like, when you make the move, it's very puzzling because you sign somebody like Kirk Cousins to a four-year, $180 million contract. You're like, this is our guy. I'm just wondering if there was influence outside of the general manager to make these free agent moves. I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing it out there because it does seem weird that the general manager would you know.
Say that one more time. Repeat that one more time about the move.
I'm just wondering how much influence Arthur Blank had with the signing of Kirk Cousins. Because we know that owners, at the end of the day, yeah, it's about improving your football team, but it's also about selling tickets. Mm-hmm. And Kirk Cousins, I mean, you're looking to replace Desmond Ridder, who we saw last night, I mean, almost beat his former team.
Yeah, but go ahead.
What I'm asking, though, is if Terry Fontenot, the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, mm-hmm. if he was really on board with the Kirk Cousins signing, why would he have been the one to pull the trigger on the Michael Penix trade, on the Michael Penix move?
Because he could be dumb. There are dumb GMs.
He might be.
And let's assume that Arthur Blank wanted Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know what you do? You give Kirk Cousins a damn weapon. Like, how is that difficult? The comeback can't be that the GM, well, he didn't believe in Kirk Cousins, so he's going to go ahead and get him his quarterback of the future. Dude, you're not going to be around to watch the quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., if this goes poorly.
But
and Raheem Morris wanted Kirk Cousins. Let's just be fair. Raheem Morris wanted him because that's how he ended up in Atlanta. So, for sure. Yeah, so if Raheem Morris wants him and Arthur Blank wants him, don't you think that the GM was on board too?
See, I don't know. You would think so, but then...
Have to be. The GM brought Raheem Morris in.
Yeah, but then the GM also made the pick of Michael Penix.
Yeah, which is dumb.
And if Michael Penix ends up, and they say, you know, he might be the best pro-ready quarterback in the draft. If he comes out and the last four games of the season puts up some really good numbers,
yeah,
then the general manager, I mean, that only validates the general manager, right?
Yeah.
For picking Michael Penix. I don't think you can hang everything on the general manager for signing. Maybe you can. But it just seems really odd that you
would... A general manager can make good moves and dumb moves. There's no way you could look at a team acquiring Kirk Cousins and drafting Michael Penix Jr. and the GM not get any flack for that. Like, in the press conferences that they did after the draft, like, the stuff that he was saying was, like, mind-boggling. We can sit here and we can be happy with Kwesi now, but them falling back and passing on Kyle Hamilton and other guys and ending up with Lewis Seen, like, that's ridiculous.
That was bad. But Kwesi cut his losses and traded Andrew Booth.
Doesn't mean it wasn't dumb.
No, it
was still dumb.
It was dumb. But this is a completely different level of stupidity because you're sinking $180 million into an aging quarterback that you think is going to be the answer and is going to make Kyle Pitts a star, Drake London and Darnell Mooney, you know, Bijan Robinson. The problem with the Atlanta team is not the lack of playmakers, but you're signing a quarterback to a big contract, and then you're also drafting a quarterback, which those two things connected seem really stupid. But I just don't know if there's a disconnect between the general manager and other people in the organization. You know what I mean? You're talking about you made there's a difference between making bad draft picks that like Kwesi did and signing a quarterback and drafting a quarterback.
No. I'm not saying it's apples to apples. I'm not saying that it's exactly that way. Let me put this in a different type of perspective.
Okay.
And hopefully you'll catch me on this because I'll ask you a follow-up question. Do you remember who was the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks when Russell Wilson was selected?
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Matt Flynn, who they signed to a contract.
Yeah, that was
from
Green Bay. That was Matt Flynn, who was a free agent quarterback.
Yep.
And then Russell Wilson stole the job, right?
Yes.
Right? Is there similarities between that situation and this situation?
No.
Why not?
There is in the sense...
There is, but there isn't. Tell me why.
there is in the sense that you signed a free agent quarterback.
Yep.
But Matt Flynn.
Hold on. Finish it.
Okay.
That you signed a free agent quarterback, and then what happened? Yeah.
And then he didn't perform. Russell Wilson took the job in training camp.
That's the similarity. What's the difference?
The difference is the amount of money that you're paying Kirk Cousins compared to what Matt Flynn got.
That's not the difference. The difference is the Russell Wilson was not expected to be the guy. In this instance, we expected Kirk to be the guy, and Mike was the long-term thing. That's the difference between those two situations. The situation was not that they expected Russell Wilson to be, because they didn't expect that.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he was a third rounder out of Wisconsin.
So we know that this happens. The same thing happens in Dallas for a different reason. Tony Romo gets hurt. He gets hurt,
and then Dak comes in. Yeah.
So the whole drafting of a guy when you got a guy, that's not changing anything. What's different here, though, is that you planned it, and then you went and drafted another guy. That's what makes it dumb.
I just go back to if the general manager, and I feel dirty for giving him the benefit of a doubt. I do. If the general manager was indeed the same person who decided to draft Michael Penix after giving Kirk Cousins this money, then yes, you're an idiot. But I have a hard time looking at somebody who would sign a marquee quarterback on the free agent market and then decide, you know what? We just signed this guy who's supposed to be the guy who's going to make our team better. We're going to invest some first round capital, a top 10 pick on a quarterback of the future when you just signed a guy. Because first round picks are expected to play. That's the thing. First round picks are expected to play right away. I mean, do we agree on that?
No, not really.
You don't think so? I think that nowadays, first round quarterbacks, I feel like you're expected to play. Caleb Williams.
No.
People were looking at J.J. McCarthy.
Here in Minnesota, the starting quarterback you just acquired was Sam Darnold. From day one, because we covered training camp, and you're around it, and you listen just as much as I do. From day one, it was Sam Darnold was going to start, and J.J. McCarthy was going to sit and watch. And at some point this year, depending on how things played out, J.J. McCarthy would eventually get his shot. J.J. McCarthy never was starting day one. We know that.
No, but I'm not saying you're going to start day one. I'm saying you're expected to play year one. So, I mean, as a first-round quarterback, this is kind of what the Falcons expected. Like, a first-round quarterback, I mean, the only one that is not playing this year is J.J. McCarthy, and that's because of injury. And even if J.J. McCarthy's healthy, there's no way he's playing The Vikings, this is an anomaly. What we're seeing from the Vikings is not normal with Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. This is just so far out of the realm of expectations. I mean, out of 100 simulations with the Vikings, we never could have imagined Sam Darnold would end up being
I don't agree with you that all first-round quarterbacks that you throw them in there the first year. That's not typically like it. It's all situational. It's all situational. It's dependent on it. Like Jaden McDaniels had to start. They had nothing else. Chicago, they had nothing else. Those other quarterbacks, Drake May, he didn't start week one. They had nothing else though. Jacoby Brissett wasn't good. They had nothing else.
That's why you draft a guy. That's what makes the Falcons thing so bizarre.
Two of the quarterbacks that you named started day one because they didn't have anything else.
Yeah.
Other guys didn't. Jordan Love didn't start day one. We know that because Aaron Rodgers. That goes without saying. But there's other guys that didn't start day one. Lamar Jackson didn't start day one. So it's all situational. CJ Stroud did, but it's not, across the board. We can kind of pick and choose that. All right, we're a little bit late. Let's get the word on the street. That's coming up next here on The Lake Show. We're going to get to word on the street. And then after that, I want to get to a couple of things here. There's a couple of texts coming in about the Kirk Cousins situation I want to double back on that we'll address here after we get done. With word on the street, baby. Mm-hmm. And we got bowl game action tonight, too.
We do.
The bowls have started. Now, this isn't one of the college football playoff bowls, but nonetheless, we got college football.
Yes, it's Anthony Hardaway versus Bobby Huggins.
No.
No?
Come on.
What? It's Memphis and West Virginia.
You just said a player versus a coach.
But it's their schools.
Yeah, that's true. And Penny Hardaway is technically, he's a coach now.
See?
So. I was hoping that you go Anthony Hardaway versus Jerry West, but whatever.
No, I'm not going to. I don't want to disrespect the logo.
What? How's that disrespect?
Because you're
going to disrespect Bob Huggins.
I would have said, well, Bob Huggins is Bob Huggins.
He'll cuss you out.
Yeah, he will. I've talked to Bob Huggins. Whew, he's a hot tamale there. And not in a like a sexy way. Speaking of sexy way and bringing sexy back, Justin Timberlake is bringing Micro back. Well, that's what his fans are saying after getting an unexpected eyeful during his wardrobe malfunction. Now, a viral clip from Justin's recent Nashville gig shows his super tight harness stealing the show, thanks to its triangle-style straps that accidentally spotlighted his groin area. Now, he didn't look down, as seen as the fan-captured TikTok, but he definitely felt the rise in attention and tried to cover up the bulge, tugging at his shirt to keep the area under wraps. But the shirt wasn't long enough, so Justin Timberlake had to face the music, singing Mirrors from a suspended platform. To add to the humor, he belted out Hard to Find just as the camera zoomed in, talking about the timing that's almost too perfect. And as you can imagine, the TikTok comments exploded with people dropping some rib-tickling quips. As they pointed out, Justin Timberlake's junk was indeed hard to find. Well, JT's manhood may have been a little shy, but the spotlight surrounding it certainly wasn't.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Guess he can cry me a river with that one, huh?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Here you go, man. I like Justin Timberlake.
I do, too.
Phenomenal musician.
Yeah. Now I know why Britney moved on to K-Fed.
Wow.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. You're mean.
I am not mean. It just kind of reminds me. Have you ever seen the show Superbad? The movie?
Yeah, I saw the movie years ago, yeah.
You remember the comment that Jonah Hill made to Michael Cera?
No, I don't remember the
with
movie.
The, with the tight-fitting jeans?
No, I'm not verbatim knowing.
I'm not going to say that on the air because I won't say that he said it looked like a division sign. Hey, Conor McGregor's return to the UFC Octagon has been put on the back burner as the combat sports legend said he's got some other business to handle first. Because we know that you are a huge exhibition boxing fan. Like, that is your thing. So now, Conor McGregor. Oh, are you kidding? Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, this guy was all over it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he was just like, I can't wait to go home and watch this hot mess.
Yeah, right.
Well, apparently Logan Paul and Conor McGregor are going to get it on. He said he's got his sights set on the WWE superstar, and I use that term very loosely. Sounds like they're far along in negotiations, as McGregor claimed he's in, quote, preliminary agreement with the extremely wealthy Ambani family to take a boxing match with the Maverick in India. He says, I have agreed, and then I will seek my return to the octagon. Of course, the Pauls are no strangers to taking on massive names in the ring. Jake is a month removed from defeating Mike Tyson in one of the most watched boxing matches in the history of the sport. Logan went toe-to-toe with Floyd Mayweather in 2021, also a little bit of a stretch. As for McGregor, the majority of his top fights were in the UFC, although his biggest payday by far and away came after his TKO loss to Mayweather, 2017 boxing event that put a reported $130 million in his bank account. Logan, the former WWE United States champion, has yet to address McGregor's reveal, although he has most recently been focused on raising his newborn daughter, Esme, with his fiance, Nina Agdal.
Former WWE United States champion?
Yeah. He defeated Rey Mysterio and then lost he lost it to LA Knight. Yeah.
Oh God. I can't stand Conor McGregor. Didn't Conor McGregor just
Yep.
He was found
Yep.
He lost the civil rape case?
Yep.
I'm stop putting these people in positions where we got to watch them and deal with them. I'm done with people like him.
It's a name.
I can't stand it, man.
It's a name. Conor McGregor has that name recognition that can sell something like this.
When was the last time you won anything?
Well, it wasn't the lawsuit. It's been a long time. Been a long time since he's won something.
I guess.
Proper 12, his whiskey brand, even dropped him. Like, and I think he helped create that.
He did.
And they've completely scrubbed him from all of their advertisements. Hey, here's a weird story. Of all things, a phallic laser pointer is at the center of the Jamie Foxx birthday dinner dispute. And it turns out his beef was with folks from the Jackass franchise's production company. Now, multiple sources with direct knowledge say Jamie got upset during the night out at Mr. Chow's in Beverly Hills when someone from a private party in the upstairs VIP area pointed a laser at his table, projecting the image of a penis. Apparently, Jamie was particularly upset because his kids were at the table. He felt the image was disturbing, so he walked upstairs to the VIP room and asked the folks up there to cut it out, making it clear he didn't find the joke funny. Now, it sounds like the VIP room was rented out Friday night by a production company, which is owned and operated by Johnny Knoxville, Jeff Tremaine, and Spike Jonze of Jackass fame. And while none of the Jackass stars were at the holiday party, the group included crew members who worked for the production company. One person who was at Jamie's birthday celebration said Jamie had about 50 people at his table, and it was a serious affair geared at celebrating his second chance at life after a stroke. Now, it sounds like the folks at the holiday party in the VIP room sent Jamie a drink earlier in the evening, which he accepted but didn't drink because he's not consuming alcohol these days. Waiter told Jamie, "They're waving at you, wave back," and pointed him to the VIP section where 12 guys were trying to get his attention. Now, Jamie's dinner guest says the table was confused by the folks from the holiday party laughing during this exchange until they noticed that the penis-shaped laser beam pointing down at the table, which obviously triggered Jamie, who sat in front of my daughters. That's when Jamie, along with some friends, went up to the VIP to ask the guys there why they did it, and then things escalated. From there, a Jackass Forever crew member allegedly threw a thick drinking glass, which ended up hitting Jamie in the face and cutting his mouth. Now, Jamie stood there bleeding and said, "It's my birthday. What's wrong with you?" And then he quickly left the restaurant to get stitches. Now, a source connected to the Jackass crew says Jamie had backup with him when he went upstairs. There was a tense, at times, physical standoff.
His backup should have done more. His backup should have got to convincing of putting hands on folks.
I mean, it's really a bizarre situation. And the attorney, Brian Friedman, who's representing the production company, says although the crew has the greatest respect for Jamie, the version of events that has been presented, totally inaccurate, deeply unfair to those attending their holiday celebration that night. And after Jamie left, apparently the private party continued being aggressive with Jamie's friends, and Mr. Chow's staff eventually called police. Now, Jamie wasn't there to speak to cops at the restaurant, but it sounds like he's spoken to police about the incident. And law enforcement say that cops have heard from people with the Jackass production company who were involved, but police have not corroborated that info. The investigation is just getting underway with no arrests so far.
Hey, Jamie Foxx, next time, call Kendrick Lamar and Top Dog. Have them help you out. You won't have no problems after that.
I mean, I feel like this is just a massive sense of entitlement by people who are using this production company.
And, yeah.
Oh, guess what? I'm a low-level staffer, but I work for this production company.
Sounds like some people in the group felt entitled that they could do whatever the hell they wanted.
Exactly. And, I mean, I'm sorry, but Jamie Foxx, after what he's been through,
yeah,
I don't blame him at all.
Have you seen the special yet? I haven't seen the special that,
I haven't,
that came
no,
out last week. I'm going to watch it, though.
I want to watch it,
I'm
going
to watch it during Christmas, Christmas break.
Yeah.
My Christmas break, right?
I mean, he just... He was so private about it. Now you're finding out more information. It's like, I just don't know how you can't root for the guy now.
Yep.
After everything that he's been through. And I'm sure that, you know, Johnny Knoxville and Spike Jonze and, you know, Jeff Tremaine, probably not guys that probably would have been in favor of this, because there's got to be a certain part of decorum. And sorry, that's not a bit, you guys.
All right, coming up next, I want to get back to the Kirk Cousins Breaking news of the night, he has been benched. Michael Penix Jr. is the new starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. You guys are weighing on the text line. You can call in as well, 651-461-9226, because you guys have some takes. We'll get to whether I agree or disagree with them, and we'll do that after weather next. All right, Kirk Cousins, the story of the evening in the National Football League, 651-461-9226. He has been benched in favor of Michael Penix Jr. for the Atlanta Falcons. Your thoughts, your reaction, the text line weighing in, you can weigh in, 651-461-9226, thestylesfinancial.com, talk and text line. Also, should be noted earlier today, I'm not sure if you saw this, Teddy Bridgewater is going to return to the National Football League. Teddy Bridgewater, it sounds like, unless I'm reading some fake news here, did you see that he took his high school team to the championship?
I did, yes.
And so there's some reports. I don't think it's official that he's going to officially come back, but there's some reports that he's looking to maybe come out of return to the National Football League. But we'll see. I shouldn't say that's 100%.
As a coach? Or is he... said he'd like to return to the NFL for the rest of the season.
You see that?
Yeah, I see. I see one on...
Because NFL Network was reporting some stuff. There was a sit-down interview with Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, I just see something here on NFL.com that says Teddy Bridgewater plans to return to the NFL after coaching his alma mater to a state title.
On the insiders, Teddy Bridgewater dropping the news that he plans to make a return to the NFL now that his high school state title is locked in. Whatever that means. I don't know what the specifics of that, but yeah, no, that's official from Tom Pelissero, friend of the show, and Ian Rappaport.
That's so interesting.
That is interesting.
For man, Teddy Bridgewater,
I think he's going to be a good coach.
I think he's going to be a really good coach. He's one of those guys that I
root for him.
I root for him too. I felt so bad for what happened to him. Because, I mean, he might not have been like an all-pro caliber player, but I thought he had the trajectory to be a good quarterback.
A decent quarterback,
Yeah, I mean, nothing.
And he actually came back and had some success.
Yeah, he did. If you don't root for Teddy Bridgewater, then you're the problem.
Yep.
You're the problem.
All right, so the text line, some owners apparently have way too much money, overpaying Captain Kirk, then drafting a quarterback. Everyone then knew it was a matter of time before the rookie quarterback took over. But now, it's an owner's race for the stupidity title. Sad, sad, sad. That from Wes. He would also say signing Sam Darnold will save crazy Kwesi's job for another year. Otherwise, Kwesi has been horrendously terrible as a GM when it comes to draft time. Let me say this. I thought that his first draft was terrible, but I'm gonna disagree with the texter from this standpoint. Kwesi's learned from that. Kwesi's gotten better.
Yes,
he's gotten better. You got to get props where props are due.
You go from having one of the worst drafts of all time to having one of the best free agent classes of all time. Like you, maybe the truth is somewhere in the middle, but. I do feel like if we were going to completely rail on Kwesi, then yes, you got to give the guy his flowers for what he did this year.
Yep.
Now, maybe that was all him. Maybe, you know, that's him, you know, Brian Flores saying, hey, I want these type of players. And you know what? They went out and they got him. And if that's all part of the process, then I think let's judge him now, not on, you know, what he did when he first got here.
Well, no, I mean, you got to judge him on that, too.
He's gotten better.
He's gotten better. And this is the other thing with Kwesi. When we're talking about evaluating Kwesi, one of the big evaluations of Kwesi is going to be J.J. McCarthy. We can't evaluate J.J. McCarthy because we haven't seen J.J. McCarthy yet. Number two, Dallas Turner started the year, first couple games, looked good. Mm-hmm. Then he tailed off. Last couple games, Dallas Turner's turned it on again. So I think that's going to end up being a good pick. Unfortunately, rest in peace, Kyree Jackson was was their third selection this year. He died in the car crash tragically killed by a drunk driver. So we'll never, you know, be able to I mean, that's just, you won't be able to grade that because the guy's no longer with us. He never played a snap for us. Will Reichert in the sixth round, that's your kicker.
I know,
that
right?
Guy's got the bionic leg.
I mean, hey, at least he wasn't cut after the first time he missed a field goal. So, you know, that's nice. That's nice. Kwesi has done a good job in salvaging whatever he needed to. And then...
And I will say this, the 2023 draft wasn't really that great of a draft for him either.
No.
It's still very much incomplete. Jordan Addison, it's not saying a whole lot that he... I mean, he was a first-round pick. You expect him to be good. Mekhi Blackmon.
Yeah.
Jay Ward's playing better right now. But, I mean, they cut Jaren Hall, Dwayne McBride. I mean, that just...
I was disappointed in a Caleb Evans. I thought they would have as well.
He was 2022, right?
Caleb Evans, I believe. Yeah, I believe it was 2022. Part of a
he wasn't 20.
No, he wasn't 2023. Well, plus what they've done with undrafted free agents.
Yeah, Caleb Evans was 2022. Yep.
I think what they've done with undrafted free agents too. I mean, get a guy like Ivan Pace who walked in and was immediately a stud. So I think give him credit where credit's due with that.
All right, from the 952, it says, you're right, Henry, but as you know, Washington drafted RG3 in the first round and then Cousins in the fourth round. These GMs like to hedge their bets, but this big bet failed with Cousins. Now, I agree with that particular text in that situation, but let's be real here. That's not typical of an NFL draft. You do not typically draft two quarterbacks in one draft class. You typically don't do that, number one. Okay? So we don't see a lot of hedging of bets that way. And secondly, it's drastically different than this situation. And it's drastically different because of one thing. That year when they did that, when the Washington Commanders did that, what do we know about drafting a quarterback? We know that from a salary cap situation, you're not spending money on a quarterback. Here, they did both.
Yes.
The Falcons locked into a top 10 salary and gave a guy massive money in free agency. Back when they did this with RG3, RG3 got paid, but Kirk Cousins
didn't because of where he was drafted. Yeah. Yep. And that's true. That's a really good point that they were drafted in the same draft class, but it's the same, but it's not the same at the same time.
Agreed. Agreed.
I mean, this is like the only time in NFL history I've heard of something like this happening, giving a guy, you know, and it's not like Cousins got a one-year deal. I mean, it's a four-year deal. They paid him to be a franchise guy, and then you drafted a guy to be a franchise guy. Like, you can't have two franchise guys.
Next year, because Cousins was signed to a four-year, $180 million contract. About $100 million of that is guaranteed.
Oh, my God. Oh, Atlanta.
The Falcons will pay Cousins $62.5 million this season.
Oh, Atlanta. Oh.
Kirk Cousins and his agent, they are bank robbers.
Oh. What's that meme? Oh, baby, what is you doing?
You might as well put Kirk Cousins on the money team with Floyd Mayweather.
I mean... Sam Bradford was also pretty good at it. Like Kirk
Cousins tonight might as well go on Instagram and wear like a big diamond studded chain and start doing the Kirk O'Chain.
Do a little Kirk O'Chain. Yeah.
I robbed y'all.
Yeah.
You not like us.
he's doing the Scrooge McDuck thing tonight, man. He's just opening up that vault and like diving into all of those dollar bills. Damn.
Oh, my goodness. Good for you, Kirk. I ain't even mad at you, Kirk. Man, I'm just glad you didn't get over on us.
You know what you're going to see when you go on Instagram tonight? Forget your models. You're going to see Kirk O'Chains just like doing his little Kirk O dance.
Hey, Kirk O's in Atlanta too? Man, just, hey. Just go ahead and make it rain.
What are they going to do, that swag? Hey, nah, you got to be careful with the clubs you go to Atlanta.
No, I'm saying make it rain at home. Oh. Man, we know that. we know Kirk Cousins ain't going to a damn strip club. He's in church probably right now.
Yeah. Most exciting thing for Kirk Cousins is going to Fuddruckers. That's it for Kirk.
Oh, my goodness, with his minivan. Final segment of The Late Show coming up next. All right, as the Miles Davis hits you in your ear, you guys know that means just the final segment of the show. So now we have a new co-worker here at WCCO Radio that'll be producing from time to time. His name is Ryan Perpich.
Hi, Henry.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so you're going to be producing on Friday. So Ryan's been kind of hanging out here. I mentioned his name a couple times on the air. He's been hanging out kind of watching how Chris does the show because, you know, Chris is just going to leave us here. He's going to abandon us in the next couple of days, whatever. And so he'll just leave the show to me and Lindsay and Ryan. So, you know, go have fun with your life, you know, move on from no, I'm just joking.
I've been back for 2 days. That's enough.
I'm just joking. But, all right, so the reason why I wanted to bring Ryan on here in this final couple of minutes is because, and I'll just go ahead and admit this, for the very first time in my life, I've tried something called a kringle, a Danish kringle. And so I've seen these things forever, right? I've seen them in stores, and I've seen the traditional, like the one that everybody raves about and talks about in the white paper.
Mm-hmm. It's got like a Viking with a mustache on it, a little cartoon guy on it. Yes.
Yes. But so now there's one here that was dropped. We get a lot of, in radio, you guys, we get a lot of stuff that's sent here and we take advantage of free stuff. Like, you got to love free stuff, right? Like, we're broke here in radio. We don't make money in radio unless your name is Chad Hartman or Jason DeRusha.
I'm checking my bank account. I got $16.
So you're broke, right? There's a lot of free stuff. Well, right here, there's a Danish Kringle. There's two of them in studio from, it's called Racine Kringles.
We've been really bonding over this all night. This is great. Great stuff.
So tonight, I for the first time have had and tried the Kringle. Chris, have you ever had a Kringle?
Chris no.
Kringle. Okay, Ryan.
Chris Kringle, yes.
Ryan, before tonight, had you had a Kringle?
Yes.
Okay, you had a Kringle. Thumbs up, thumbs down, because I'm impressed.
This is dynamite. It always is really good, and it's kind of, Wisconsin kind of claims this as, this is their deal. I don't know how well Minnesotans make their Kringle. But it's always Wisconsin. They seem to have the market cornered here. And this is, the Racine. That's very nice. I think it's from someone named Barb. Thank you. It was delicious.
Well, it says on here, it has the stamp and it shows Wisconsin. And it says, official state pastry of Wisconsin.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know that.
I didn't even know they had an official pastry. We don't even have a pastry. We don't have an official pastry, but they have one.
It's from Bruce and Pamela. Merry Christmas. Enjoy some Kringle with your coffee. Love, Bruce and Pamela. How sweet.
Thank you, Bruce and Pam.
Wow, it's delicious.
We thank them both.
Yes.
I'm going to be a little bit bitter, though. Mm-hmm. A little bit bitter.
Because it wasn't meant for us?
Well, yeah, aside from that. So the one that we have, there's two of them. There is the... It's like a raspberry one that I haven't tried yet. I cut into it. I'm going to take a little bit with me. And then there's the one is the one that we tried earlier. Is that traditional Kringle?
It's pecan. I don't know what makes traditional Kringle Kringle.
Yeah, I'd never even heard of Kringle.
What was the other one that you'd had before, though?
Oh, it comes in all sorts of flavors. Apple. I mean, it's kind of like a pie. I mean, it can come in any variety of flavors. You know, fruit, mostly.
Well, who sent us this one? Pam and whom?
Bruce. Pamela and Bruce.
All right, Pam and Bruce. Pam and Bruce, if you're listening, send us the cherry cheesecake one.
So let me get this straight. Something that wasn't even meant for us. It wasn't even meant for us.
Send it to the Lake Show.
I'm seeing this now. Ship to Susie Jones at WCCO Radio.
It's been here all day. So Susie,
it wasn't even meant for DeRusha. Okay, now I don't feel so bad.
I'm gonna send Susie a text and be like, Susie, we're tearing up the Kringle.
Hook us up. Well, don't tell her you can tell her we're.
She left it for us.
Yeah, that's true. She did.
Susie was here.
Yeah. Susie's good people.
Yeah, she's great people.
Especially when she gives us some Kringles.
Well, if you can promise more Kringle on Friday, Henry, I promise I'll be here and we can hang out.
Say what?
It's not up to me. Up to Pam and Bruce.
And Bruce.
All right, we are done. We'll get at you guys tomorrow night. Tune in 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. again for the Lake Show.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.